is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Long lines at food stores in Jamaica and people have been busy covering windows with plywood as Hurricane Melissa moves toward Jamaica.
The line that you have to wait on to get things, it's very hard. So everybody just gives up and do what they have to do for themselves.
It's expected to be the most powerful storm ever to hit the island. CBS's Jason Allen in Kingston.
Melissa's outer bands have begun lashing Jamaica with winds up to 175 miles per hour and sheets of heavy rain. The storm is moving at a sluggish 3 miles per hour with catastrophic impact, expected to drop more than 30 inches of rain on the island.
Melissa is expected to make landfall on the island tomorrow and cross southeastern Cuba and the Bahamas through Wednesday. While you usually see the World Central Kitchen helping those in need following natural disasters or overseas in Gaza and Ukraine, the organization is helping furloughed federal workers in Washington, D.C. They're serving up free food to government employees impacted by the shutdown.
I think that it's an amazing thing. I think D.C. itself has come together in so many ways to support its citizens, residents who are directly impacted, because the most federal workers obviously are in D.C.
Meantime, the food aid program called SNAP will be put on hold starting this Saturday. Flight delays persist as more unpaid essential workers are not showing up for work.
More than 5,000 flights were delayed across the country, according to flight tracking website FlightAware. More than 500 canceled outright. At Newark Airport,
our flight from Chicago to Newark was delayed 5 hours.
The thing said that we are delayed because the plane arriving was delayed somewhere else.
It's been just havoc.
It comes as the Secretary of Transportation says air traffic controllers are stressed. They're calling out, and come Tuesday, they'll miss their first full paychecks. The U.S. faced a shortage of air traffic controllers even before the government shutdown began. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Ground delays are currently in effect at the airports in Austin and Dallas, Texas, due to staffing issues. As Israel accuses Hamas of failing to return the bodies of 13 hostages taken from Israel into Gaza, President Trump is also urging Hamas to act faster. Reporter Linda Gradstein in Israel.
Israel says it believes Hamas knows where to find at least 9 of the remaining 12 bodies, including 2 dual American-Israeli citizens. According to the terms of the ceasefire, Hamas agreed to return all of the bodies of the hostages, but has said it does not know where all of them are located because of the massive destruction in Gaza.
The Israeli military says that today the Red Cross received a coffin containing the remains of an Israeli hostage held in Gaza. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
The Packers defeat the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers came back in the second half to win 35-25 over the Steelers. Wide receiver Christian Watson had 4 catches for 85 yards in his first game back after suffering a torn ACL in January. The defense sacked Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers 3 times. Micah Parsons.
Guys made plays when we had to make plays, which was huge, and we need that. We need that every week. It's great to have Christian back, honestly, and just everyone else just coming in. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the guys. Everyone who felt like they was having a bad game, like, we just rallied around each other.
NBA, the Bucks suffered their first loss of the season, 118-113 in Cleveland to the Cavaliers.
You know, it's so funny. We shoot the ball so well. I just thought we missed shots we made. And then the fouls, I thought, were the difference in the game.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrases praised words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly clear sky, lows in the upper 40s. Nice day for tomorrow with a partly sunny sky, highs into the mid-50s. And we'll look for more sunshine on Wednesday, a little breezy, highs again in the mid-50s. Dry through the rest of the work week. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, Wendy, thanks for coming on. We're going to have Dr. Stately on in a little bit. Let me see. Can you mute? There you go. That was my bad. Hey, we're going to have Dr. Stately on in a little bit. And I asked you to come on, and we're talking about some events that are happening. Mm-hmm. And I just want to buzz these through these first couple of events, and then let's talk about Southdale after that. If you don't care.
Go ahead.
So, hey, on November 1st, the gathering of our children and returning adoptees powwow is happening at American Indian Center November 1st. Grand entries at 1 o'clock. And if you're an adoptee or a birth mother, there's some things happening at 10 a.m. So come on early, and any family member, come on early. The powwow is grand entries at 1, and then the ceremony's at 3. It's a really, Wendy, it's really a heavy duty.
Yeah, and this is a really important one for you, Robert.
Yeah.
The adoption powwow.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. You know, being an adoptee, and Sandy Whitehawk has run this thing. This is the 19th, so next year's going to be the 20th.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a documentary on her called Blood Memory.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book, too. And so it's just amazing. And let me buzz through these other things, too, because we're partnering with Minneapolis Institute of Art, and on November 6th, we're having Rihanna Yazzie's film, Wintered Love. And then November 23rd at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, we have Ajawak's going to be there with his movie, Indian Horse, which was a real big movie. And it'll be great to see everyone there and watch the movie and ask questions afterwards with both Rihanna and Ajawak. And then Smoke Signals on the 29th, and that's at 2 p.m. And again, Ajawak's movie, Indian Horse, is at 2 p.m. too. But Rihanna's, which is on the 6th, is going to be at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is it's free.
That's amazing. At the Minneapolis Institute of Art.
Yeah, definitely.
MIA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's how they're branding their name. MIA. M-I-A. MIA.
So maybe we should be called Native. I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey, I want the big things happening right now. And I know we, over the years, we've had the market at Dayton's and
We are having the market this year at Dayton's. Yes.
Right.
Downtown and Minneapolis.
And you've been a big part of that. I remember the first year we were there all night setting it up because we had the whole room.
Yeah.
People forget about that. We had the whole room and a lot of artists and it was awesome. And then now 5 years later, Mitch and her crew have expanded.
Hundreds of kiosks.
Yeah.
Really beautiful stuff at Dayton's downtown. That's, I don't know the dates, but it's, you know, it's like Thanksgiving through
It's the 20th, and I think theirs lasts a little longer than Southdale. I think it's a week after Christmas, so you can return those gifts from the vendors. But, hey, Wendy's going to have her art out at...
Yeah, this is the first time at Southdale Mall in Edina, November 20th through December 24th. So the art that I've been doing over the last... since 2022, you know, I'm getting prints made, canvas prints, different sizes. I'm getting, you know, smaller prints, 8x10s that are matted into 11x14s. We're going to have a lot of greeting cards that are actually the art that I've made. And most of the art that I have, not all of it, but most of it is sacred animals that I talk about. So, you know, it's the pig, the chicken, the sheep. Yeah. And the cow. I have a really beautiful horse that I'm really proud of that I worked on. A really interesting kind of abstract, kind of artsy bison that I worked on. I did some dabbling with pencil and watercolors, and those will also be, you know, frameable art that you could come on and buy. And it's going to be down there. And we're also going to have some Leech Lake wild rice also. And I'm going to
We run out every year.
I know. And I'm just going to say one thing, that each bag's 50 bags. I did my artwork on each bag by hand. And
it's frameable.
And it says Leech Lake wild rice with a rice stalk. And underneath it says hand harvested, which it is. So we'll have that too. Southdale Mall, Edina, November 20th through December 24th. I'm excited. It's the first time. I'm kind of nervous too. Yeah. It's just like, you know.
Putting your art out there is kind of hard. It's kind of naked.
Yeah, totally. And you know, art is so subjective, you know, it's just, you know, 500 people can walk by a piece of art and, you know, maybe one person would say, you know, I have to have that in my home. So it's, it's really hard, you know, to sell stuff, but you know what, we're kind of doing it for the adventure, you know, not to, you know, definitely not going to get rich over this.
No.
What do they call this? The starving artist. That's the old saying, right? The starving artist.
That's why I'm still working, right?
Exactly, Robert. You have to keep working because I am a starving artist.
Exactly. Hey, Wendy, do you want to hang on for a couple minutes here?
Yeah.
We've got Dr. Stately in the bullpen here, and I know he's always got something to say. So let's got Dr. Stately from Native American Community Clinic on. Good to see you, Dr. Stately. Wendy's art is going to be on display. Ho-wah.
I know. I saw that. I heard that. I just took note. I put it in my calendar.
Yeah, and for sale. So
I'm gonna get one of those bags of rice.
Yes.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
I got one for you. Don't worry about that. Just drop it by with one of the reefs.
I was laughing. You could probably see me backstage. I was laughing when you were having the conversation about her being a starving artist. That's why we have to work.
That's not true. As you know, Wendy was a pharmacist for many years, and
I thought she was the breadwinner.
She was. Now I have to pick it up. So it's like
you switch.
It's been a struggle.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I got some rice for you, Dr.
You're
Stanley.
Like Arlene with your fire bread. Let's rip it in half.
Exactly. Yes. I don't know. Did you hear that we're doing some work? Native Roots Media is doing some work with Minneapolis Institute of Art, and we're having Ajawax meeting there, and also
movie,
and also Rihanna Yazzie's movie will be there. And what's really cool, and then they're going to show Smoke Signals too at the 29th of November. So it's going to be fun.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, you have to publish all that information on your website. than your thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going on Saturday to the mural, the opening of the High Lake mural. Do you know about that?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that.
The reason I know about it is because my niece, Natchez, was one of the artists that was involved in it. But I went there. She was finishing up, doing some finishing touches on it last Saturday, mm-hmm. I think. So I went and kind of hung out with her. And it's beautiful. It's breathtakingly beautiful. I was literally shocked. It was really beautiful. I remember seeing parts of it in her studio. She was doing, like, the AIM logo. The other things she had showed me designs and drawings of, and I was like, oh, this is really lovely. But it's like a multi artist mural in the underpass on High Lake Street in Hiawatha, that interchange there.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly gorgeous. It's beautiful. I was like, so, not because she's my niece, but because I was just stunned at the beauty of the mural, and so proud of her too. Just because, my mother, her grandmother would have been really, really proud of her. So.
Well, it's amazing. Hey, Dr. Stately, we got to take a quick break. Wendy, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, honors that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. By learning from each other and sharing knowledge through trusted relationships, MVAT helps build trust and make sure Native voices are heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and build the future you want. Vote together. Stand together. Learn more at makevotingatradition.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Dr. Stately, and Wendy's staying on, too. It's like the olden days when we all used to, when I forced Wendy to be on every day, Dr. Stately, and then we went to therapy.
I haven't seen Dr. Stately in a long time. I just want to sit back and listen to all the great stuff he has to always have, that he has to say.
That's easy for you to say.
Thank you. You're sweet. Thank you. It is like the olden days. Jeez.
Yeah. Except
the basic covered wagons going all the way back.
Well, hey, that's talk about now. When is the open? There's an opening of her art, and let's finish up on that thought. And what day? And what time?
It's a public viewing and kind of opening. Like, I guess, I don't know, but what would you call it? Like a just a ceremonial thing underneath the underpass. Lake Street in Hiawatha. Maybe I should probably do a better job of showing it. What's really cool is that's actually her daughter. That's a picture of her daughter that she
put. Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that is cool. That is very cool. Well, Dr. Stately, you're well connected. You have a lot of good people, relatives here in the community. And, you know, I've had some of them as students, and we've seen some of them grow up and become firemen, fire people. It's amazing to watch this. And I guess that's part of getting old, the good part.
Yeah, my nephew Chaske and his girlfriend Maddie just had their baby girl.
What?
Yesterday.
They did?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
I got to send
congratulations.
Out.
Congratulations. What did they have?
A girl.
Oh, they had a baby girl. Yeah. Haven't gotten a chance to see her yet, but they sent out announcements and pictures this morning. So.
Oh, I guess I don't, right? I'm gonna have to give Barry a hard time.
That's such a great blessing.
You're going to have to get on Barry about that, but...
I'll message him after the show and go, when, because I thought it was the 31st she was due, and I was like, when is Madison due?
Yeah, she was due this Friday, but you know, baby has his own mind. That's right.
Oh my God, we know that. We had 14, 15 month old babies over here. Yeah. We had one of them today.
Today we had one today.
Yeah, nice. She was only like 4 days old. 40s early.
Oh.
I was telling
what's her name, you know,
my nephew Chaske. I was like, I'm gonna pray that she comes on October 3rd so she can be named like Anthony or Antonia. That was the one I didn't know what the sex was. I like well, the name Anthony or Antonia.
Oh, Antonia is pretty cool.
Yeah. So what is her name, if you don't mind, or if you don't want to say it on the air, that's okay too. Maybe not.
But we don't have to say the last name.
He gave her a Dakota name. So gave her a Dakota name. Where is it? Oh, he has it here. Oh, okay. I'm going to mess it up, I'm sure.
Oh.
But what I love, he did tell me the name the other day, and he told me what it meant, and I forgot already. But this was like a week ago when I talked to him before the baby was born. Myrna Henry. So her middle name is Myrna, which is his grandmother's name.
Oh.
His grandmother's mother. So his great grandmother's name is Myrna Henry.
Wow.
Myrna Zephyr, actually. So so he's named after his great grandma, which is lovely and beautiful. She is gorgeous. I can hope you guys see the picture of her. She's like,
adorable.
Just to let everybody know too, we're on YouTube and Facebook Live and Blue Sky. So if you're missing out and you're not driving in your car, you can watch us on those formats.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm excited for my my brother, who's now a great grandfather.
Whoa!
Wow!
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm a great uncle, so I'm kind of a great grandpa too. But
well, I heard really you were kind exciting. Of a good one, not a great one.
I'm actually pretty remarkable, actually. If you want to say, when it comes to being an uncle or a grandpa, I try to be like a good one, generous one, and my kids get mad at me. They're like, you love so and so more than us. Because I bought them one thing, I buy you millions of things.
Yes.
I'm happy. My son's older sister, I think I told you this about a month ago, had her twin baby girls.
Oh.
So we're looking forward to going back to Crow Creek to see them for Thanksgiving. We haven't done that for a few years. We haven't done that really since like the first year of the pandemic, I think.
Mm.
Things just shift and change. The pandemic sort of kind of messed everybody's cadence of their life up, I think, for a while. But before that, we would go back every year for Thanksgiving to Crow Creek. And we would see their family, their grandma and their sisters, and to spend time with family there, back at their Dakota home. Well, this is their homeland, but they go back and see their Dakota family. And then, and one of the things I loved about that was that, two things. One is that on Thanksgiving, we were spending time with their family. And I think I told you this as well, and that we adopted my partner and I adopted our sons, our twin boys, from their mother, who was my partner's first cousin, and she passed away on Thanksgiving Day. And so it's kind of always been a bittersweet thing. But I'm really excited to go back and make this a different experience, where we're going back and we're celebrating life and we're celebrating the new babies, and I can't wait to hold them. And I told people, I was like, oh, it's like being a grandpa, because I'm going to spoil the hell out of them. So.
That's nice. Our grandson is pretty heavy, so my shoulders, I think of my grandsons all week, even when I don't see him, because my shoulders are burning.
Oh, wow. Are you carrying him up there, or what are you doing?
Big boy. No, just lifting him like from the ground up, you know. A lot. Yeah.
He's like 98th percentile or something like that.
They're 15 months.
15 months, okay.
Yeah.
And they're running around.
They're running around, and they're getting into everything. And
the good thing is, little Bobby thinks I'm funny, and I appreciate a good audience, as you know.
Yeah, he'll come to his senses at some point.
Oh, he definitely prefers him, Robert, over me.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I said, he'll come to his senses.
He might be 8 or 9 years old before he figures out that Wendy's the gift giver, and I'm just like, oh yeah, sign my name on that.
That's funny. So one of the things I was going to tell you, and I forgot to text you this, and I just remembered, like, at some point earlier, like maybe a few hours ago, I think earlier, like you mentioned it last night to my sons, and I forgot all about it, and remembered like maybe a few hours ago, but. I turned 40 years sober today, October
27th. Wow.
You turned 40, I think, last month? So, like, are we like a month?
November 9th. I'm November 9th.
November 9th.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So
I'm hot on your heels.
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to tell this lady who was sober in December, that when I'd get my medallion, I would say she kept me sober another year, because I never wanted her to have more sobriety than me.
That's a good.
Wow, that's good. Congratulations. That's really amazing. And really something. Really, it is. It's really a miracle.
It is a miracle. I was telling my sons about it, and I said, like, and I don't know, I think I told you this. I don't know if I should have told you this. So the niece that did the mural, we were in Florida together in August. We went down there to see my other niece, Calusa, who is in the process of dealing with colon cancer. She was. We went down there to visit her and spend time with her. We brought her medicines and spent some time with family and just, you know, to try to do all the things. To support her. But when we were at that, we had an Airbnb, and it had a poolside, you know, pool, an outside pool right outside the back door, and it was a block from the beach, or a couple. But one night we were sitting out, and I said, oh, what is this? Cutwater? I think it was Cutwater. I grabbed it and took a drink of it, because I thought it was just like bubbly water, like a bubbly. And I took a big old swig of it, and then like literally my like head was like, I was like, what is this? Did you, because she said, oh yeah, I should try it. And I said, and I tried it, and I didn't realize it had alcohol, and it doesn't say it, like in big letters on the can, alcoholic beverage. So
yeah.
Oh no.
I was like, but I had this feeling like my head was like burning, like I had this feeling in my head, and I was like, oh my God. And so then I teased her. I was like, well, I was almost 40 years sober until today.
Yeah. it's time to, at the races there, you know, right. Yeah, we could talk over and over about accidentally drinking other people's drinks and going, you know what? This has alcohol in it. I remember.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa is churning toward Jamaica and expected to cause widespread damage. Resident Susan Brown believes they'll be hit head on.
When you look at the wind, just is coming up. It is not turning back. It comes straight ahead.
World Central Kitchen is in Washington, D.C., where the government has been shut down for 27 days now, and many workers are not getting paid. And federal food aid will be put on hold this weekend. Marco Sanchez with World Central Kitchen is serving free food.
Our mission is very simple. We feed people. And we show up in places around the world, across the country as well, where there is a need.
President Trump, now in Tokyo, has a big meeting on his itinerary set to take place soon. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports.
First, he's going to be meeting with the Japanese prime minister. She just took office a few days ago. He has had very warm things to say about her. She is the first female prime minister of Japan.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Packers defeat the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers came back in the second half to win 35-25 over the Steelers. Wide receiver Christian Watson had four catches for 85 yards in his first game back after suffering a torn ACL in January. The defense sacked Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers three times. Micah Parsons.
Guys made plays when we had to make plays, which was huge, and we need that. We need that every week. It's great to have Christian back, honestly, and just everyone else just coming in. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the guys. Everyone who felt like they was having a bad game, like, we just rallied around each other.
NBA, the Bucks suffered their first loss of the season, 118-113 in Cleveland to the Cavaliers.
You know, it's so funny. We shoot the ball so well. I just thought we missed shots we made. And then the fouls, I thought, were the difference in the game.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Now, hear all news all morning, weekdays from 6 until 9, from 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lots to report from the weekend box office, including a new champ from the world of anime. Chainsaw Man the movie came in first place with $17 million at the gate. The animated film tells the story of a man who was almost killed by the Yakuza until he was saved by his dog, forcing them to become one, thereby creating Chainsaw Man. The film received a 96% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes and 99% audience score. Coming in second place in its second week of release was last week's champ, Black Phone 2, which pulled in $13 million at the box office. Despite bad reviews, newcomer Regretting You pulled in 12.5 mil, which was good for third place for the drama. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere finished in fourth place in its opening weekend with $9 million, which was a bit below expectations. And it was Tron Aris in its second week that pulled in just under $5 million, which was good for fifth place at the gate. If you get a chance, see a movie called Truth or Treason. Really solid film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, to mostly clear sky, lows in the upper 40s. Nice day for tomorrow with a partly sunny sky, highs into the mid-50s. And we'll look for more sunshine on Wednesday, a little breezy, highs again in the mid-50s. Dry through the rest of the work week. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, childcare remains a big issue in Wisconsin, around the country. Corrine Hendrickson will join us in hour number 2. Don't miss it.
Mattner on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha. Wait,
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, Wendy, can you give us a old school, like the old days when I forced you to be on the show every day? Didn't you used to do this portion's brought to you by or supported by?
Sure. This portion
you can
of,
just make one
well,
up. Make it up for Saltdale or something.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis.
Honoring
health and tradition.
Ooh, that was good. That was off the top of your head. I always liked that tagline. Hey, and we have Dr. Stately with us. And we do not want to minimize your accomplishment of 40 years of continuous sobriety, which is huge. And I've, in the last few years, when I get my medallion, I always thank my family. I thank the creator. And then I thank myself because I was a big part of it. And I have to remember that, you know, we'd probably be dead if we didn't do some certain things. So congratulations again, Dr. Stately.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have been dead probably if I hadn't gotten sober. I was like, had already like burned up some, you know, like a cat with 9 lives. Or I think I was on my 10th.
Yeah. And then you did a geographical cure. You moved to California right when you sobered up, right? Isn't that how your story is?
Yeah, I moved to California. And I think a big part of that was because I was, I was 23 when I got clean. I was like very young. But I had started drinking. I think I started trying it when I was 11. I think by the time I was maybe 13, like the year I started high school. I was probably pretty actively, you know, drinking with friends and going to parties and drinking with my brothers and sisters and the older friends. So it's pretty like, you know, the first time I tried to get clean was when I think I was about 17, maybe 18 years old. So like for a good 5 years between the time I was 18 to 23, I was actively trying to quit. You know, I was going to make a post on my Facebook page and I just got busy last night with like, you know, life, my dad, cleaning up the kitchen, shutting down the kitchen at 12:30. And then they're like, then they come in and they want me to make them some snacks before they go to bed. You know, the whole thing.
So I wish you lived closer. I wish you lived closer because I wish you lived closer because I'd love to be a neighbor and stop by for some snacks.
My mother would have told me, you know where the kitchen is and you know where the refrigerator is and you have a door to open up the refrigerator door. That's what I would have. That's what my mother would have said to me.
That's probably, I mean, I have said that to them. I'm like, you know what to do? It's like fry an egg. Go fry an egg. It's like, oh, I want some taco meat. You know, like, they're just like, you know, they're, you know, this generation of teenagers is like a whiny bunch. That's just my thing. Like a whiny bunch. A whiny bunch. But I was like doing that, so then I forgot. But I was thinking like, oh, what would I say in my post? Like, you know, 40 years ago today, I wrapped my car around a light pole on 29th in Lindale, which is like, I barely survived that car accident. I woke up in the hospital the next day and, you know, I think I told you the story before, like I could hear an actual voice when I woke up out of my stupor. Like I heard this voice say, like, you know, if you drink again, you're going to die. And I turned and looked because it sounded like an actual person standing behind me. So I was looking and there was nobody there. And then a couple minutes later, my mom and my sister walked through the door of my room, my hospital room, and my mom took one look at me. I was kind of all busted up and my car was a mess. And she had seen the condition of the car. So I think she knew how badly, how lucky I was to be alive. And seeing me in that condition, she just kind of fell to her knees and started crying. And I was like, and then, you know, my sister was like, you're killing our mother. I hope you know. And I was like, and I was like, you know how they say in AA, like, I remember like when I was much younger, I would hear people say like, you know, you have to want this for yourself, do this for yourself. And I think that that's probably true. But I think at that point in my life, I really couldn't want it for myself. That voice that spoke to me was, you know, shocking. And then the experience of seeing my mom and her pain. And I stopped that day. I never picked up a drink ever again. And it was like, you know, I could see what I was doing to my mom and the harm I was causing and hurting her and, you know, hurting my family. And I didn't want to do that anymore. And you know, I just prayed for the strength. I put out tobacco and thanked Creator for, I think I told you that I asked my sister to go and get the stuff from my car. Mm. And whatever I'd left in the car. And she came back and she said, the only thing that was in your car was a bunch of beer cans and this, and this braid of sage that was sitting in the back of your car in the rear view. And so ever since that time, I've always kept either sweetgrass or sage in my car, like it's in the front of the ash. Right. Mm-hmm. Now I have some eagle feathers there too, but I've done that ever since I got clean and sober, and I've had a car every single time. I would carry medicines with me in the car because I wanted that protection.
Yeah.
I moved to California at 23 years old with no job, no money, $100 in my pocket. I sold everything I had for a plane ticket and moved there mostly because I looked around my community and my family and all of my friends, everybody I knew at that point in my life. You know, what we typically do as alcoholics or drug addicts is our fortress is all the people around us that look exactly like us, right?
So or a little worse,
normalize what we're doing, right? And that, yes. I looked around and I was like, everybody I knew drank and used drugs. You know, like one of the last times I remember driving some friends of mine to like the saloon, and I was like, they're shooting up in my back seat, and I was like, I had this moment of clarity, was like, I am going to die if I stay here because I won't have any other choice. And so I went and hung out with some friends in California, my ex-partner in California. He took me to an AA meeting, and like this gay AA meeting in Hollywood, California on Saturday night. It was the Saturday before Valentine's Day in 1986. And I was stunned at the stories that people were sharing. They were sharing remarkably painful stories, but laughing, and they were alive. And I was like, I can live here. I can live among these people. And, you know, they were all very welcoming. I was a brand new face, and I was like, they were all very welcoming, and I felt instantly at home. Right. So I came back from my vacation, and I was like, I'm moving there. And I don't know how I'm going to get there, but, you know, I was running away from something as much as I was running to something. And I'm grateful for it. It really did change my life. I think I was privileged and blessed to be able to have a new life and the opportunity to create a new life.
I had
I would have had that if I had stayed.
Yeah, I had a person tell me I was the most important person there when I went to my first AA meeting. So whenever there's a brand new person, I tell them that too. Because it's true. The newcomers are lifeblood. I remember loaning my car to my poor dad, my poor sweet dad, and him turning sharp turns with my big Chevy Impala and all the beer cans coming from underneath those big seats. Do you remember those? Remember that big car? It's like, oh my God.
It's a special kind of music.
Yeah. Yeah. Clink, clang. Clink, cream ale, whatever. Cream ale express or something. I don't remember. Blatz. Get the Blatzes every night. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, how is the clinic? I was telling Wendy about the clinic during the break. Where are we at? This is amazing.
We just finished the third floor, I think. They just, like, they went away for 3 days and 4 days, worked from home, and came back, and, like, the whole third floor looks like it's almost all done. Wow. So they're starting to work on the fourth floor, I think, here next week, and, it's kind of exciting. We're in a mad rush to get, like, the whole thing done before the first snow flies, which is going to probably be any time now within the next, you know, 3 weeks possibly. So if we can get a floor done a week, then we'll be okay. But then we'll be working on the internal part of the building, right? Like doing all the framing and all that stuff for the housing components, which I'm super excited about. People are getting excited about the housing and they're asking us like, you know, when are you going to start, you know, taking names for the housing? And great. So we're in the process of doing all those things. And, you know, the clinic will also start working on the internal, building out the internal clinic spaces. And, you know, it's remarkable to come to work and it's right there in the parking lot. So I see it every time I walk past it. And, you know, it's just a really wonderful experience to see it come to life. You know, it's like a thing we've been working on for years now, five years.
So make sure your office has a little closet so you can meditate, a little meditation room. I've run into those. It's very, very cool where you can just.
We're going to have a space for all of our staff to like a quiet space for them to go to.
Yes.
A self-care room where they can meditate and they can pray and then get some quiet time.
Yes.
Ironically enough, I'm not going to have an office in that building. So.
That's irony. So you won't be locked down. You can work from home too. Oh, wow.
No, not even just that. It's like we're trying to use all of the space intentionally. And like, we're also really conscientious of like, you know, we have to share space, right? Leadership doesn't mean an office in a corner office with a big old window. Yeah. Leadership means you have to give opportunity. You got to give space and my job is not to sit in the corner office of a building. My job is to be, you know, out and about with the clinic, with in the community, working with partners. My job is to sort of like have an understanding of like what the community needs. So I got to be outside and I got to be working with our partners. And I got to be in the clinic, moving around, talking to staff and spending time with them. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. Wendy, you were in a wide open office when you were at
the shared collaboration space where nobody had their own desk. But it's so funny. It's like human nature. Everybody sat at the same desk every day. It was it's just human nature. It just happens that way.
I love it. That's how I work now. I share an office with three other people.
That's awesome.
Great conversations. We laugh. Yep. We do a lot of collaborative work together.
That's perfect. I love the work. We're here with Dr. Stately and Wendy Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our United States and Canadian wolves and bears. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
Oh.
Let's go get... Let's go get some picnic baskets. Oh, isn't that what a bear says? That's no.
That's what Yogi says.
Yeah. Hey, boo-boo. Hey. Hey, boo-boo. Let's go get some picnic baskets. That's it for my impressions. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately and Wendy Pilot and kind of reminiscing about the bad old days of pre-recovery and also how great this clinic's going to be on Franklin Avenue. And it's interesting, Dr. Stately, I was thinking too when you were talking earlier how much Franklin Avenue's changed since you left. And, you know, there were so many bars and things like that back in the day.
Yeah, I was like on a panel this last week. We were, Hennepin County had an opioid sort of like mm-hmm. session. And I was on that panel because we were Hennepin County contracted organization providing opioid use disorder prevention and intervention services in the community. And one of the questions they were asking was like, to talk about, what they see different. And I talked about how when I was 23, I went away and the avenue looked very different. And when I came back in 2009, when my sons were just 2 years old and I was moving back to the community because I had to come home because like I couldn't raise twin boys on a professor's salary. That was quite crazy. And so we came back and I remember the first time I came to Minneapolis after moving back and just driving down the avenue and how different it was. When I lived here, there were like five bars within a 3-block radius,
right,
of one another. And I had little chairs that were mine
with your name on it,
probably with my name on it or something on it. but my little resting spots. And, the Indian Center looked different and the whole entire avenue looked different at that point. And I came back and how different it was. And there were two things that really stood out to me. And I said this in that specific community listening session. I said, I was surprised at how differently the avenue was. I said, and where I'm at today is like, I'm disheartened and I'm a little unsettled by like the conditions that our community is in now, because the things that my mother's generation and the generation before them fought for and worked hard to do, to dismantle, to get rid of those bars and chase them all out and to get and to create all these organizations and those kinds of things. Was really like quite remarkable. And one of the things I said in that thing was, I said, because the commissioners or some of the people from Hennepin County were like, well, what would you tell the county to do? Like, how can we help you? And I said, what I'll tell you is like some of the things we talked about on this panel today are the programs and the things that we're doing with the resources you gave us are quite remarkable. We're like, IPTF talked about how the things that they've been doing with the Keep the Fire Alive program, the internships they do with young people, 16, 17, 18, all the way up to 24, getting them internships in local community organizations where they can learn about their community, they can feel connected, they can feel like they have a role that's important that contributes to like their community, how important that is to building their identity and their sense of self and their sense of belonging. That's the antidote to sort of addiction, right? Is like helping them to understand like they have a place, they belong. That's one of the most important things. And of course, the work that NAC is doing in sort of some of the harm reduction and workforce development areas. And I said, what you could do is you could give us the money and get the hell out of our way and let us do what we know works, because we've been taking care of ourselves and building community since the beginning of time. I said, and I wanted to remind everybody in this room that some of the biggest things that have ever happened in Indian country, from any education to the freedom of
religion.
Medicines or our religion, Indian Child Welfare Act, some of those things that happened that became national movements started here. American Indian movement started here with a group of Native women, some of those my relatives. that were just had enough about oppression and mm-hmm. and racism and the harm that it was causing our young men. So like we have everything it takes to take care of our community in our DNA, in our blood, in our blood memory. We can do this. And what you need to do is give us the resources to do the things that we know work and get mm-hmm. out of our way. And giving us the resources is important because we're in the situation that we're in with the scale of the opioid crisis and with the scale of houselessness and all these things, because mm-hmm. you have not just lacked making investments in the communities for the last 40 or 50 years, you've actually extracted resources right. from the community. And so we're in the conditions we are in because of the way that you've treated us.
Yeah, amen to that. Gosh, we're really lucky to have one Dr. Stately on our show, Wendy, absolutely. But also talking that way in the community. And it's really interesting. Wendy's been out of the, well, she hasn't been working in 5 years, right, Wendy? But we've heard about Dr. Stately through all these different venues that, you know, that you're well known. And so we're really blessed to have you on here. And the community clinic's really blessed to have your leadership. So I just wanted to say that it's amazing what you just said there.
It really is. Oh, really,
thank you. That was the Elaine Stately in me that came out in that conversation.
Oh, very nice.
You know, like that. I'm, you know, I am the man that my mother made, so
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't take any credit for that. So
that's beautiful.
You know, with all these babies around and your new babies born and the families, I worry because of the people who are not getting measles vaccines or even the flu shot. I mean, you know, these babies are so vulnerable and their immune systems are not established yet. And I think I just want everybody to get their vaccinations if they're going to be around these young, vulnerable babies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm like, you know, one of the goals for NAC is to increase the vaccination rates in our community.
That's great.
It's going to be a challenge given some of the conditions that we're sort of living under right now with all the cuts to Medicaid and sure. that wackadoodle and healthcare and human services. It's just like, you know, the confusion that they cause by like no vaccines or these vaccines, like. It's actually absolutely crazy making. And like by taking it off the schedule, by taking a vaccine off the schedule and saying it's not critically important, what you basically do is you give Medicaid and insurance companies the authorization to not have to cover it, right?
Exactly.
So what's going to happen for poor people, like in our community, and poor people who are so many of my members of my family are you know, way below 200 percent poverty level and below, those people will struggle to try and get their children covered by vaccines and have the protections of those things. Whereas mm-hmm. like if you're wealthy and you're white and privileged or live in other areas and you have private insurance or you have the capacity to pay for those things, you'll be okay. You and your family will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like the problem with these conditions that are happening, but people just don't realize. And sadly, a huge number of the people that live in the Dust Bowl and the Sun Belt, those people are poor white people who are also going to suffer, and they're going to they're going to really regret the fact that they elected that man president because he's not keeping up his promises.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Dr. Stately, I just want, and Wendy, I want to thank for the reunion show. We got the band back together and Wendy. Dr. Stately. Wow. Yeah.
We're just like, I don't know, which band? American band.
The Beatles? No. Hey.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay. Then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Con.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, join me, Dan Haney, weekday mornings for All News All Morning from 6 until 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
We're a Civic Media station.
540 WAUK, Jackson, Milwaukee.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa is expected to make landfall in Jamaica tomorrow. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan says the storm has 175 mile per hour sustained winds.
We can see some isolated locations that have rainfall totals in excess of 40 inches, especially near where the core of Melissa moves across the island.
During his tour of Asia, President Trump is meeting with Japan's new prime minister, Sanae Takaichi.
I know that you will be one of the great prime ministers. I'd also like to congratulate you on being the first woman prime minister. That's a big deal.
Takaichi thanks Trump for his enduring friendship with former Prime Minister Abe. While overseas, World Central Kitchen is helping furloughed federal employees in D.C., serving up free food to those impacted by the shutdown, like this worker.
It's a little challenging to be a federal employee right now, not knowing when we'll head back to work. I'm thankful for the work that World Central Kitchen's doing, just to give us a little extra cushion for the furlough.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
World Net.